5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Iannelli, your cancer survivorship bus driver, here for another amazing episode. Find by me, to my left, Angel Santana, my co-host and best pal. How are you, Angel?
I'm feeling really good because I'm excited.
I am pleased as punch. We have a great guest today. You know how I love having guests, and this guest is a personal friend of mine, cancer survivor, orthopedic chiropractic physician who just published a book. He texted me about 2 weeks ago and he said, Tom, just giving you a heads up, new book out on the market, Healing the Human Machine. Dr. Calvin Hargis, welcome.
Nice to be here, Tom. And you also, Angel, nice to meet you.
So the first thing everyone will hear, Cal, is your beautiful Tennessee drawl. It is so sexy and it is just so like buttery. I swear to God, between your good looks, your strawberry hair, I mean, my God, you really should be in Hollywood.
Well, you know, Tom, you can take the boy out of the hills, but you can't take the hills out of the boy.
So Cal joins us from the University of Tennessee, where he did his undergraduate work, then off to Palmer University for his chiropractic medical skills, which, by the way, was the original chiropractic college in the United States, then did a five-year residency in orthopedic chiropractic medicine, which, Cal, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, chiropractors today can specialize just like their medical counterparts. So we have doctors that are specializing in orthopedics, radiology, neurology, and other fields. But I've always been interested in orthopedics, so that's where my concerns and my interests lie. So I decided after about 5 years of practice that I just wanted to go back and learn a lot more.
Awesome.
So I went back to, I actually went to New York Chiropractic College when it was located in Hempstead. And that's where I did my orthopedic residency.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit about some of the things that an orthopedic chiropractic physician brings to the table that perhaps your garden variety guy or gal on the corner chiropractor can't deliver.
Well, the thing is, in chiropractic orthopedics, what we're trying to do is we're trying to treat orthopedic problems by doing a very careful analysis and diagnosis of the problem. We don't dispense any medications. So we have to be very, very sure of our diagnosis and our treatment because we can't really cover up pain with medication. And so our aim is to decrease surgery and more invasive procedures by being very good diagnosticians and knowing exactly what treatment to provide for a host of orthopedic conditions. So we treat knees, elbows, hips, backs, necks, radiculopathies of any kind, headache conditions, foot problems, anything that your typical orthopedist would see, but we don't do surgery. So I've been doing this for quite a long time now, a little over 3 decades. Today, I guess in the United States, there's about 70,000 chiropractors, but I believe there's only about 800 chiropractic orthopedists. So even though it's an emerging field, we're still relatively rare.
And you, my friend, were one of the pioneers, one of the on the forefront of that specialty.
Yeah, I started back in the day. Actually, it was about 1985 or so when I got into the specialty and matriculated around 1990. So yes, I was fairly early in the field.
And just for our listeners, I mean, that was not an, you know, not, that required a great deal of sacrifice. I mean, just for our listeners, I mean, when you have your degree, you know, the thought process is, go out there, begin building your practice. And instead, while everyone was sort of getting a head start on you, you decided to stay in training. And we all know being in training is being an indentured servant. And you didn't do that for 3 months or 6 months or 1 year. You were that for 5 years. So kudos to you, Cal.
Well, you know, between the education and the certifications, and we had to do national clinicals, both examination and written. And so, yeah, it was a lot of work. I had four young children at home and a wife to support here in Warwick. Warwick is not an inexpensive place to live. So it took a little hustling, but we got through.
I heard that you sent your little children out into the apple orchards to steal the Penning's apples to eat in those days when you were a resident.
Not just that, the pumpkins too. They make a nice soup.
So Cal, I want to tell you, one of the things that Angel and I are very proud of with the podcast, and actually even in my practice, Cal, to be honest with you, you know, physicians are extraordinarily elite, you know, elitist. We're a bunch of elitists. And, you know, if you're not part of our flock, even, you know, I'll tell you, I work elbow to elbow with osteopathic physicians, and some of the best doctors I know are osteopathic physicians. And even, you know, we have a hard time even accepting osteopathic physicians. Imagine chiropractic physicians. And I've always prided myself to be very inclusive and open you know, whatever modality can help my patients, whether it be, you know, traditional, non-traditional, whether it be in the medical arts or the chiropractic arts. I've always been a fan. I mean, we've always had those terrible stories of chiropractors, you know, improperly or inappropriately manipulating someone with metastatic disease and causing a fracture or whatever. But, you know, you also hear the horror stories of my kindred, you know, doing really knucklehead things as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, I really, me in my practice, me as a podcaster, me as a founder and, you know, chief bottle washer of a cancer survivorship organization, welcome and aspire to promote anything that could help our patients. So looking at you as a cancer survivor, as a dear friend, as someone I admire very much, and putting it together with your book, Healing the Human Machine, why don't you give us a nice, you know, snippet about, you know, what's going on?
Well, I certainly will, Tom, but I'd like to go back just for a second and talk briefly about the risk factor. I did, during the book, a lot of research, and one of the aspects of the book is looking at the risk myth of chiropractic. And I looked at some of the results from the Cunningham Insurance Company that insures physicians. And basically, your typical primary care physician in Orange County pays about $20,000 a year in malpractice. Surgeons pay about $120,000. OBGYNs pay probably $180,000. My malpractice insurance is less than $2,000 a year. Now, those are based on actuarial tables of injury. And so you can see right away that chiropractic is considered very safe. So just wanted to let people know that, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about that. So getting back to the book itself, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for almost four decades now, actually. Certainly over three decades as a chiropractic orthopedist. And, you know, 1,000 years ago, people thought the earth was flat. But today, everybody thinks that every ache and pain has to be stretched, massaged, vibrated, or heated. And actually, that's incorrect and has led to an epidemic of chronic pain. The fact is, when we injure a body part, about the only thing we can injure, short of breaking a bone, is soft tissue. And soft tissue is ligament, tendon, muscle, or whatever. And those injuries are internal. And when we start to stretch and massage those, we actually delay healing at the expense of feeling good temporarily, maybe for just a half an hour while we warm the tissue up. But then the problem comes right back again and eventually tends to become worse with time. So healing the human machine is what I've learned in these many decades, taking care of all types of injuries of this nature and realizing that they're by and large soft tissue injuries that are being incorrectly treated. When I got out of school, just like everyone else, I was doing massage and other types of therapies. And a vast majority of my patients were just not responding the way I wanted them to. And they were back in the office 2 days later and on and on and on this went. Well, that would be great for a lot of practitioners, but I really wanted to get them better. So I started really doing a lot of research and thinking about what I was actually doing and what I was actually treating. And I realized very often that the pain that the patient was having was not in the spine or the joint, but it was in the soft tissue, the muscle tissues around that area. In other words, the support tissue. Now we have 607 muscles in the body. We have about 200 and some odd bones. And those muscles are connecting those bones and they are the engines of our power. They're doing whatever we need to do, lifting, rotating, whatever. And those are the tissues we typically injure. But the problem is that they swell, they become tight, and we instinctively think that we're in spasm, we need to stretch, we need to heat. And by doing so, we're actually prolonging those injuries.
That's very interesting. As a matter of fact, the first thing you hear from people is, oh my God, I broke a bone. And there are times when people break bones, but more often than not, the majority of injuries are, as you said, are soft tissue injuries.
19 out of 20, I would say, by average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cal, let's talk a little bit about this concept in The Cancer Survivor.
All right. Well, you know, cancer survivors, we have a rough time. And you know my history, and I've been through cancer twice now. And actually, in 1998, you helped me out with a stage 4 throat cancer that had I not met you, I'm sure I wouldn't be here. You actually went so far as to look at the outcomes of various treatment centers for my type of cancer. And you gave me a stack of outcomes about 2 inches thick, if you remember. And that led me to Lou Harrison at Beth Israel. And at the time, Lou Harrison was the leading expert in throat cancer throughout the world. And when I went to Lou Harrison, everyone locally had been telling me that my chances were not good. When I went to Lou Harrison, he said, we've got to do this, 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 and this. But if you do everything that I tell you to do, and I'll only treat you if you do everything, your chances are very good. And so I went through the program and here I am today. So as you know, cancer survivors or in the midst of a cancer diagnosis, there's a lot of factors going on. A lot of times our immune systems are certainly compromised. We're doing a lot of perhaps sitting more than normal, in hospital beds more than normal. Our postures are compromised. We're in situations where we're uncomfortable, certainly. We're also very often depressed. And this takes a toll on the human body. I don't know I would assume most people listening have spent a few days in a hospital bed at one point. But I know after I spent about a week in a hospital bed, I felt like I had been hit by a truck. And so, the positions that you're in and the multiple times per night or day that your rest or sleep is interrupted by nurses who have to check things or give you medication. It's just a very tough thing to go through. And what we're experiencing in those situations, again, are soft tissue strains. And so to heal those, stretching, heat, massage are contraindicated. But unfortunately, most people don't realize that and they instinctively want to stretch those tight muscles. And so their pain continues long after it should. So healing the human machine was a compilation of all these things that I've learned. And it is a very unusual book in that I make it very simplistic for the reader to understand the concepts that are involved. And I actually break down a variety of problems, whether it might be neck, shoulder pain, hip or back pain, knee pain, foot pain, TMJ, headaches, all sorts of conditions, as if I'm dealing one-on-one with a patient. And I'm doing the diagnosis and explaining how to tell it's a soft tissue injury versus some other problem, and then how to actually go about the stepwise, very simple methods to start to heal that condition. And so the book's about 300 pages, say 286, and I think I have about 164 citations in there from studies that have been done. But it's an extremely well thought out book, I believe, and documented pretty well.
So give us a little bit of a glimpse, Cal, into some of the techniques. Again, we want everyone to buy the book. We will, as we told you in our introduction offline, we will have a bunch of these books to give away to our listeners. If you're interested, please let us know, contact us, and we will get that book out to you guys. But give us a little glimpse for our cancer survivors on some of the things they might, use, put in their, I call it, their cancer survivorship toolbox.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I would tell anyone with any sort of soft tissue problem, pain, whether it be lower back pain, neck pain, whatever, is stop stretching. Stop stretching, stop massaging. Because in most cases, the vast majority, you're dealing with a soft tissue injury. And you believe that you're in spasm because your muscles are swollen and they're tight. And we instinctively feel like we need to stretch. And we do stretch and we do massage. And so for half an hour or maybe an hour, we feel a little better. But what we're actually doing is we're winding back the clock on our healing. Every day is like Groundhog Day. We wake up with the same problem and it gradually gets worse and worse over time. That is the hallmark of a soft tissue injury that's being mistreated. Now, unfortunately, in 2014 and 15, a Dr. D.L. DiGiovanni and colleagues looked at all 141 medical schools in the United States to see how much instruction they got in the diagnosis and treatment of musculoskeletal conditions. And unfortunately, what they found was that only 15% of the medical schools mandated any study whatsoever in this field. And the study that was mandated in those 15% of those 141 medical schools was between 1 and 3 weeks. So in point of fact, medical doctors are extremely gifted in many, many ways. And I have great admiration for them. But in the area of musculoskeletal treatment and diagnosis, they're lacking, sadly. And this has been borne out by study after study after study. So the vast majority of people who go to medical doctors are going for back and joint issues. As a matter of fact, in 2015, the Mayo Clinic looked at the 142,000 residents of Olmsted County, Missouri, and they saw that 55% of their visits was for back, spinal, or joint pain. So the majority of people going for treatment to their medical doctor are going for back problems, spinal problems, or joint problems. So unfortunately, going to a physician who is less skilled in the treatment of these disorders has led to overprescribing of addictive medications. And that has, to some extent, led into our difficulty with heroin and other things that, you know, that we're experiencing contemporaneously.
I couldn't agree with you more. I have very little personal or what would you say, a professional or formal training in soft tissue injury. And it's kind of funny because my modality, which is radiation, also can cause soft tissue injury. So it's almost like a paradox.
Yes, absolutely. So getting back to your original query about what I would advise, let's say that someone has back pain. Typically what I hear is someone will come into the office and say, well, I've been having back pain for 3 or 4 months, and I'll ask them what they do. And they'll say, well, I stretch, I massage, I was given some exercises to do, but my back pain just doesn't seem to be going away. And it'll typically be right-sided or left-sided, lower back, and sometimes into the buttock area or hip, and sometimes go partially down the leg. A lot of the people coming in will say, well, I have sciatica, but their pain doesn't go below the knee. And as you know, as a physician, sciatica is a linear nerve pain going to the foot. So these are basically soft tissue injuries. And the first thing I'll usually ask people is, what have you been doing and how do you sleep? And typically they'll tell me they're sleeping on the problematic side. Well, when you sleep on the right side in bed and you have a right-sided back strain, you're stretching out the muscles. And so you're going to wake up in the morning stiff and sore. And so that stiffness and that soreness is also the body's way of laying down protein glues to try to heal the area. Most people get up in the morning, they'll take a hot shower or tub soak, and they'll stretch and break all that healing apart, and they're winding back the clock on their injury. So the sad fact is only one person in six who has chronic pain ever gets better.
That's profound. I'm actually sitting next to Angel, whose mother is going through exactly that whole syndrome.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So much that she can't even she can't even stand on her own without pain for more than a minute and a half before she's got to sit down real quick.
Right. Yes. And sitting is another big problem because, again, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And a lot of people, when they're sitting in a slouched or stretching position. And when they go to arise from that sitting position, they have a great deal of problem getting up. And that's related to the fact that they've been stretching those tissues during that entire time. So every single thing that you do to approach these problems has to be correct. It has to do with postures, sitting, sleeping. It has to do with therapies, getting the correct ones. Now, in terms of correct therapies, the thing that I enjoy doing with patients and I've found to be the most effective therapy, bar none, is ultrasound therapy. Ultrasound therapy is a sound therapy. It goes through the muscle tissue. It helps it heal very rapidly. It increases exchange dramatically because, as you know, Tom, when you have an injury, you have swelling, and then you have a high pressure gradient in that area. So cellular components do not exchange very rapidly. And so ultrasound is able to speed up that healing dramatically at the same time that it's diminishing the likelihood of scar tissue formation. So it's a wonderful therapy. And then I couple that with ice packs. And sometimes we'll do manipulation if it's indicated. But very often, believe it or not, manipulation is not indicated. I would say for about half of my patients, I never manipulate them. It's only a combination of doing the right therapy, advising on the right exercises, and the right home therapies and postures.
No, I love it. I think, Cal, this is very, very excellent stuff. Stupid question for you. You were mentioning ultrasound therapy. Does that increase the vascular penetration into the soft tissue injury?
No, it really doesn't. Actually, what it does is it may secondarily, but what it does initially is it just decongests the area. So by decongesting, yes, you might be able to get more vascularization in, but vascularization is a good thing at some point. The problem, again, and this is another bone of contention and something brought out of my book, is that very often people are using NSAIDs, they're using acetaminophen and Tylenol and other agents, which tend to artificially decrease inflammation. And they can actually, those agents can actually end up producing more scar tissue formation and more chronic disability long-term.
Wow, that's, you know what, as a doctor, the first thing our knee jerk is to prescribe, we start with the NSAIDs and the Tylenol.
Right, absolutely. So there are a lot of nutraceuticals out there. And of course, that's something, as you know, I'm very interested in. I'm a double cancer survivor, actually. And this latest round was for prostate cancer, which, as you know, in 2015 was metastatic for me, was stage 4, and was all throughout my skeletal system. And through the use of nutraceuticals, I've been able to pretty much heal myself in combination with some real good medical care, I will admit. And so nutraceuticals are important. And one of those, especially useful for inflammation and sprain, strain type injuries of the muscle or tendon, whatever, is curcumin. Curcumin is a really good natural anti-inflammatory. It does not cause any kidney problems or tend to be ulcerative to the gastric system or the colon. So curcumin is a real good agent for treating these soft tissue injuries.
I love it. I actually, Angel and I would love to actually do a podcast just on that, just on nutraceuticals. And we will love to have you back if you'd like to come back.
I certainly would. I'd be overjoyed. I've really enjoyed this podcast with you.
Oh, it was so wonderful. The world is not flat anymore, Cal. That's a fact. Do you have any questions of Angel or myself before we sign off?
No, I don't. If you guys want to send me the podcast, that would be great. And when you want to have me back again, I'll be more than willing.
Such an honor. Cal, hang on. We're going to do our gratitude exercises. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you, my friend, for joining another successful podcast.
I think it was great. I'm going to have to talk to Calvin offline about my mom.
Yeah, you will. Rod Friedman, Small Biz Up. Thank you, Rod, for everything you do for us and for our cancer survivors. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, thank you for your love, your support, your belief in us. On behalf of Angel Santana, our board of directors, and our entire Croc constituency, we sign off as we sign off every week, wishing you, our adored cancer survivors, a very long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.